In mid-November 2002, fishing boat High Aim 6 left Indonesia for fishing grounds near the Marshall Islands in the Pacific Ocean. 6 weeks later, it was found adrift 4,000 miles from its destination in the Marshalls, off the northwest coast of Australia. The boat was undamaged. Everything was in order, with no signs of violence. But the crew had vanished without a trace. They didn't even leave a note. Yes, it looks like we've got us another
ghost ship.
And just like that, we are back. Yeah, that's right. So this is part two. If you haven't heard part one of our story about the High Aim 6 ghost ship, go back and listen to that, because this wasn't intended to be a two-parter. We're jumping in right in the middle of the episode. That's how we did this. So go back and listen to that. But if you are, we're just picking up right where we left off at the end of the episode. This is the conclusion.
Featuring Joe Sweeney from Thinking Sideways Podcast and filmmaker Vincent Calderney. This is The Shocking Details.
I wanted to throw in one last thing, though, one last bit of intrigue, potential intrigue, which is there was some speculation at the time that the High Aim 6 might have gotten mixed up with the Bali bombers. Do you remember the nightclub bombings Bali back in 2002?
Oh, I definitely do. I remember it very clearly.
Yeah, there were three huge, spectacular bombings of nightclubs in Bali on October 12th, 2002, which was like, you know, right before our High Aim 6 action here. And these attacks killed more than 200 people and wounded 200 plus more people.
Oh, it was. It's kind of got forgotten, but it, honestly, at the time, I remember feeling like it was sort of almost a second 9/11. I mean, a little over dramatic, but like it was a big deal. It killed a lot of people. It was terrible.
It did. It killed and maimed a lot of people. And I'm sure for the people of Bali, it was freaking 9/11 as far as they were concerned. You know,
for the people of Bali, and actually people, I believe, God, please forgive me, people of Australia, if I say this wrong. I believe I heard at the time people called it Australia's 9/11 because many of the victims were Australians on holiday.
Yeah, I think it was like more than 80 of the people killed were Aussies. And so, it is. It was a big freaking deal down in that part of the world. And so the perps were part of an Islamist group called Jamaat Islamiyah. And it appears
I haven't heard that in a minute, but I remember that name.
Yeah, most of them were caught, but really, who knows? You know, if you got every single perp, maybe some of them were still on the loose trying to escape the country. And I'm sure that they were probably watching all the ports and everything and watching the airports and stuff. Huh. And so they snuck onto a fishing boat crew to sneak their butts out of the country. That was some of the thinking. Now, you know, is this really what happened?
I find that really hard to believe, but I'm very willing to entertain it because it kind of explains why they would not be interested in the catch or anything else, right?
Exactly. That
you just want to get the heck out of there.
Exactly. And so that to me is also that might potentially explain it, but then maybe not. But so before we dive into theories, there are a few unanswered questions. We kind of have like touched upon some of this stuff, like, you know, why wasn't this crew member that they found waterboarded and tortured until he gave up more information? And again, I think we covered that, though, that the Indonesian police maybe just weren't all that motivated. I don't know.
Yeah, I think
so. And again, another unanswered question is why after all these years have none of the other crew members ever been found? And again, see above, right? Or maybe they were killed. Maybe most, if not all of them, didn't survive. I don't know.
I wonder about that too.
Yeah. If I mean, it looks like somebody survived and made some phone calls, but of course, maybe the persons making the phone calls were not crew members. Maybe the crew member who got caught was the only survivor. Maybe he murdered everybody and then just lied about it and said, all the other
right. What if he's like the Kaiser Sose of this whole
thing? It could be. It really could be. But another little mystery here that nagging little question is why didn't the High Aim 6's owners reclaim their boat? Seriously, I mean, they had lawfully and rightfully that was their friggin' boat.
Yeah, and they just didn't even want it back.
I don't know. Maybe the Australians just said, nope, we're confiscating it, and that's that. And if you want to go through legal hell to try to get it back, you can. And they gave it. But I don't know why, because, I mean, these guys, the boat's owners, I think, were victims in this whole thing. And so for the Aussies to tell them, like, nah, screw you, it's our boat now, ha, and then it, you know, would be kind of rude. I don't think that the Aussies are rude, you know, right? No.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, you know, I mean, maybe the owners figured that, after everything that had happened, the boat would be considered a bad luck ship, and they wouldn't be able to find crews to run it anyway. And so maybe that was it. But I don't know. That's another weird little aspect of the story that I really don't get. Why didn't they get their boat back?
Because I wish I knew. That's really
odd. Yeah. What happened is the Australians kept it for a little while. When the investigation was done, they decided they were going to take it out offshore ways and sink it and make it kind of a fish habitat and kind of an attraction for scuba divers and stuff. And then when they took a closer look at the boat, they realized that it was just a little too buoyant. Apparently, the hull was not steel. It must have been like fiberglass. And just a bit too buoyant. And instead of doing what I think would be the obvious thing, which is just take it out to where you want to dump it and take along another ship with a couple of tons of scrap iron in it and dump the scrap iron in the hold of the High Aim and sink it. And, you know, that'll keep it down, right? But they didn't do that. Instead, what they did is they dragged it up on shore and busted it up and hauled it off to a landfill. Right. Which is, again, I don't understand that. It seems to me it would have been easier to just tow it to where you want to sink it and dump a ton of scrap iron into it. And, you know, but whatever.
You got to buy scrap iron. You got to lug it out there. There's costs associated with
that. Oh, yeah. No, I agree. But then there's landfill charges, too, the other direction. But I suppose it was a little cheaper. But it also seems to me like a big waste. Because as far as I know, this is a pretty seaworthy boat. Why bust it up? Absolutely. Why not just, you know, if the owners don't want it back, why not just sell it? I mean, I just don't get it. Or maybe it was in worse shape than I've been led to believe. But from photos I've seen of it, it looks okay.
It seems like.
So anyway, I don't know. I don't quite get that. But
I don't either.
I don't know. There's, everywhere you turn in this story, nothing seems to make freaking sense.
Yeah. No, I feel like don't you feel like there's going to be one critical piece of information that me and you don't have?
Yeah.
Maybe couldn't have, like, for all the research in the world, we could have never got it. But like, someone could be like, here's the thing. And then you'd go, oh, no, I get it.
Mm, yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe there was some big security aspect to the whole thing, because I know that.
Or something.
Well, when this happened, when the boat was found, there was kind of a little flurry of news coverage over the whole thing in like Australian papers, New York Times even sent somebody down there and did a story
that's
on
right.
it.
Right. Yeah. You sent me that.
And of course the Taipei Times and the Taiwanese papers covered it and stuff. And you know, and the Indonesian papers covered it. And then it all just sort of drops off. There was no real follow-up in any of the papers. And so again, the story died, people lost interest, or somebody clamped a lid on it because, you know, there's like, you know, really, there's some big secret here that can't be divulged. So maybe that's the missing piece that you're talking about here. Exactly. But on the other hand, you know, it's unsolved, which is good for us because we get to do a cool episode about this mystery ship, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's get into our theories. Do you have any favorite theories?
I'm gonna go with Mutiny.
You like Mutiny?
Mutiny's my favorite theory. I don't get it. I don't even think it's the most likely.
Yeah.
Just the one I like.
We love Mutiny.
I like that kind of drama, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I know, right?
Right? I mean, and for what it's worth, it's not unheard of.
Oh,
right?
Not at all.
Indonesian crews have, in recent history, turned on their Chinese captains in the past. Just a year before, the Taiwanese fishing boat Hairisheng 6, also a 6
I know.
Boat.
What's with all the 6s, like you know? I don't know.
It's like a Taiwanese thing, maybe. Yeah. Was found adrift and empty by an Indonesian military boat. 3 crew members were subsequently arrested, of a total of 10, and confessed to the murder of the captain and the engineer.
Yeah.
So maybe racial animus played a role.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see this because it's not just racial, right? It's also cultural.
Yeah.
Right. People have different, I guess, I feel like this is like even silly to say, but it's worth noting, right? Like people have different backgrounds and different cultures, different ways that they expect to interact and be interacted with. And when you compress that onto a tiny ship in the middle of the ocean, that gets amplified, that gets what could be a little argument between two people who have a cultural or whatever misunderstanding can turn into something really huge. So I can see this, right?
Yeah. And so, it could be something like that, some sort of cultural or racial thing. I don't know. But But apparently it's not unheard of, although I'm sure you know, the vast majority of Indonesian crews do not murder their Chinese captains. But
No, of course not. No, there's hundreds of ships every day out there with, Chinese or whatever captains who are not then, mutinied by their crews from whatever other country.
Yeah.
But you have to imagine it must happen sometime where even if there's not a mutiny, where there's hard feelings, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No, sure. And I'm sure, again, because, you're the guy's bossing you around and you're spending weeks, if not months, aboard this small ship, people are going to get on each other's nerves. Yeah.
Well, and especially fishing. I mean, I'm not like some expert on this, but I do know guys who fished professionally. And like, it is this thing where like the captain's up on the bridge drinking coffee.
Yeah, and you're down there.
And you're down there like frigging pulling ropes. Yeah, I mean, this morning in Oregon right now.
Yeah.
You probably need a heater on the South Pacific, right? And he's just barking orders at you. Everything you do isn't good enough for him. Mm-hmm. And you're like, can this fat old guy even get down here and do this work with the nets and crap and the lines? Yeah, I mean, it gets frustrating.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Being bossed around by a guy and then you throw in cultural animus and all these other, racial things or whatever. And yeah, I mean, this is an age old story.
Yeah. And what available evidence we have, which is sketchy, of course, it suggests mutiny. It supports that theory. If we're to believe what this one crew member who was caught told the police, that he did say it was mutiny. But then on the other hand, you got to wonder about that because the guy's story was frankly woefully incomplete. I think at least.
It's true.
I know, Joe,
and I'm sorry, I'm harping on this one detail.
Yeah.
I take over a captain's ship, I'm also taking his smokes.
Yeah. And everything else of value, right? I mean, they were
I'm taking his stuff.
What did they say? They had a sonar for a fish locating sonar, which is for a professional boat like that, that's probably not a cheap item. They had a GPS system, really a radar expensive. System, and of course the Marlboro cigarettes.
I'm gonna say, at the very least, I'm grabbing those smokes.
Yeah.
Like, even if there was like 1 second and I didn't have time to like go pop the GPS unit out or whatever,
yeah,
I'd still grab the smokes.
Yeah.
I know it's a tiny detail, but it bugs me.
Yeah, it does.
If there was a real conflict like this, aboard a boat, you'd take the smokes.
No,
I know it's a small thing, but you'd take damn six.
Well, no, some of the Australians and others who were quoted in the stories about this said a similar thing. They said mutiny is not unheard of, but they had never heard of a crew that mutinied and didn't strip the boat of everything valuable. It's just unheard of. And so
you'd take everything valuable and you would not leave your passport on that.
Hell no. And so, yeah.
It's like, I like the mutiny theory. It kind of makes the most sense.
Yeah.
If we're to believe that, these have to have been the least competent mutineers that have ever lived.
Yes, or either that.
Almost hard to believe how incompetent.
Either that or something calamitous happened after the mutiny before they got back to shore and stripped the boat clean of everything. Like an alien spacecraft shows up and they all crap their pants and dive overboard and swim to shore and the boat takes off without them. And, but again, that's outlandish and silly. But I mean, that's the only thing I can think of is that they were interrupted in their mutiny.
I'm spitballing here, and that's where I get into trouble and say dumb things that make me feel dumb on my own podcast.
Yeah.
Try this theory out with me. The mutineers have just taken the boat, and that's when the Australian airplane flies over top of it.
Uh-huh. And they figure, oh, crap.
That spooks them. They see the plane. They go, oh, crap. And they just get out of there, assuming that there's mere minutes before the Australian Coast Guard is on their boats.
Yeah. The only problem I have with that theory.
Does that work?
Well, it almost works, except for a couple of things. I'm pretty sure the mutiny took place well before this because the captain had.
It seems like it did.
Yeah, the captain had been out of touch since like late December, like at least a week, if not 2 weeks prior to the sighting from the plane. And also the ship was actually, the boat was actually kind of way out of where it needed to be. I mean, it goes from the northern part of Indonesia over to the Marshalls. It should have come back to where it left from, but instead it's well south of this. It's on the south side of Indonesia, well south of that, even down by Australia. So if the captain had still been alive, I don't think that the boat would have been down there.
I think you got me on that.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really good theory, but I think you've kind of put some holes.
Yeah, it was good for a bit, but anyway, the mutiny theory is the most easy and obvious one, but at the same time, it makes no sense because no, it doesn't hold up. And so, but let's move on to one of my favorite theories, which is pirates.
Hey, real quick, Joe, before we go on to this theory.
Yeah.
I got to tell a joke. I got to ask you a riddle.
Okay.
What is a pirate's favorite letter of the alphabet?
R. Of course.
You'd think that, matey, but actually, it's the C.
Ah.
I love that. It's like my favorite joke. So we're talking about piracy. I just had to tell the pirate joke.
Yeah, yeah, the pirate joke. R. R. And we loves this theory, don't we? Don't we? And actually, but seriously, on a serious note here, piracy is big business in the waters between Australia and Indonesia. It's common. But here's the problem. I mean, I love the pirate theory, but the pirates would have taken the boat itself. That's what they do. And plus,
I'm with you 1,000%. I don't love this theory.
No, I mean, it's because, yeah, they would have taken the boat. They would have taken all those tons of valuable fish in the hold, rather than leaving them to rot, you know? And I don't know. I don't know if the standard MO for the pirates is to kill everybody on board and throw their bodies overboard, or maybe they told the crew that if they just, you know, stayed in the corner and behaved themselves, they wouldn't kill them. but here's the other thing, though, is that at least one crew member did survive, and he was picked up by the police, as we've already talked about. Why did he not mention those pirates to the police?
That's the easiest out for him.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I totally agree with you, Joe, 100%. The easiest out for him to be like, dude, we got raided by pirates. I made it out by the skin of my teeth.
Yeah.
That's his out.
Yeah.
And he didn't take it. He said there was a mutiny, which could potentially implicate him, even if he says, I didn't take part in the mutiny or whatever.
Yeah.
That could still come back to him. Even if you're lying, even if this guy's full of bull crap.
Yeah.
It makes so much more sense to say pirates did
this.
Now, also, though, and maybe this guy thought this through too, I don't know. For our intents and purposes, telling the story, pirates don't just take over ships to take over ships, right? I don't know. Maybe that fits better with a Pirates of the Caribbean type of a narrative.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But like, pirates just don't generally just go do it to do it and not leave any signs of a struggle or any signs that anything of value was taken from the ship.
Yeah.
Including the ship itself.
They would not necessarily have taken the boat for use. They would have taken it and sold it. You know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, fine. Yeah. So they tow it. Heck, maybe, I don't even know if pirates do this, but like they drag it in and they chop it, right? Just like you chop a car.
Yeah.
Right. They take apart, they get the parts out of there that can be resold for whatever value. They're not just going to go on a boat, take the boat over, and then do nothing with it.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely.
I can't see how this, I would say pirates could be behind all of this if there was some sign of a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And you could say the pirates made a pass at the ship. I don't know. The captain came busting out of the bridge with an AK-47, started laying down fire. A bunch of guys got killed. Things got lit on fire and the pirates decided it wasn't worth it. They cut and run. The engine was damaged. They all starved, or maybe they got on a boat no one could find and some got away. I don't know, whatever, right? But the fact that the boat was in pristine condition when they found it, nothing appeared to have been stolen or significantly damaged, right?
No, nothing at all. No signs of, violence.
That almost entirely precludes piracy.
Yeah, and so, there's the pirate theory is sad. I really want it to be pirates, but no, can't support it. So, okay, let's rule out pirates.
No, honestly, mutiny looks better.
Yeah, it does, although it doesn't work either, but okay. What's another theory?
Something dramatic happened and the crew abandoned ship.
Right, so they spotted like a water spout and they crapped their pants and jumped into the lifeboat and left the ship. So they were stupid. They thought climbing into a rubber raft would save their lives. I don't know what would make them abandon a perfectly good boat.
Well, let's just allow for the supernatural here.
Yeah. Right?
They're out on the water and they start seeing UFOs.
Yeah.
And they're thinking, oh my God, ET's coming for us. This is Independence Day. They're gonna nuke our ship from space.
Yeah.
Right. Well, one thing I think that would be true of this is that we would hear a report that the lifeboats were missing.
Yeah.
Now, I have not heard proof positive lifeboats were there.
There was not
unless
one.
Unless the Australian Coast Guard has no idea what they're doing.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be one of the things they check for?
I mean, actually there was a pretty big aerial search after they found the boat. They actually did go out and scour a pretty huge amount of ocean and they found nothing. And by the way, the weather was good. The seas were calm and flat.
Yeah.
And so if they had been out there, they would have been spotted in this search and they were not spotted.
Right.
And as far as the boat goes, there was no life raft or lifeboat or anything on the boat. But at the same time, a lot of the owners of these boats don't actually provide them.
Really?
Even so, they might say that they do, but they don't actually, they quite often do not. And that could be, you know, for a variety of reasons. Maybe they're just cheap to begin with, or maybe they provide them one time and then the crew steals them and sells them. And then the owners just say, okay, screw y'all, you know, you're on your own. If the boat sinks, well, you know, it's too bad. You shouldn't have sold the life raft. But
I think the other knock on that theory, Joe, is that something set the boat into a position and headed it off in a random direction. That seems like, we're getting into some weird stuff here.
That seems like not aliens, abandoning ship.
But it seems like somebody did that, right? If they would have just been like crap and bailed out of the boat, it wouldn't have moved on that trajectory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Unless the aliens were, maybe the aliens were coming for the boat and they hatched a plan to take to the life raft and jam it into gear and abandon ship. And the aliens would, of course, being dumb aliens, would go after the boat. And not notice them in the life raft bobbing in the water behind.
Maybe
that was it. Yeah, I don't know. But
okay. So for what it's worth, right? We're goofing around, but like you, dear listener, in order to believe this theory, right? Something else dramatic happened that caused them to abandon the ship. It all falls apart unless there's some reason, which we're speculating on crazy reasons, why they would leave the boat in gear and move it. It's really hard to get out of a boat, even if you have life rafts, which this boat apparently might not have had. It's hard to get off the boat when it's moving. You stop the boat, you kill the engine, you get in the life rafts, you go away.
Yeah. Right?
That's how that works. You don't try to get into a life raft on a moving boat. That's really dangerous. And you'd only do that if you absolutely had to. And then I'm aware of maybe the freaking gas pedal got stuck or whatever, but there's no evidence of that. We haven't heard anything like that. There's no evidence that they encountered ET and thought they could pull a dodge by having the saucers chase their ship down while they abandon ship. Mm. And even if they did, we never found the life rafts. We never find any evidence that they got off of there. The one survivor who we know survived didn't tell some story about aliens coming down or a water spout emerging or
a massive storm and they thought they were going to sink.
Weird thing that caused them to abandon ship. He said there was a mutiny.
Yeah. No, there was. Yeah. So this one, I think we can just can't, you know, toss this one on the trash heap. I think it's a crappy theory, but well, so let's see. Another theory is that, of course,
about the Bali bombers.
Yeah, we talked about that. And I mean, imagine this hypothetical there are a couple of terrorists who are on board the boat as part of the crew, right? Mm-hmm. And this is their ticket out of Indonesia before they get arrested. And so they're off by the Marshall Islands fishing.
Right.
And our terrorists deploy the lifeboat so they can, you know, go ashore there and make their escape. And the Taiwanese captain and engineer are all like, what the hell? And so they're killed. Okay. Plus any crew members who, you know, maybe might have any uncomfortable questions about this. And then they take off, the remaining crew take the boat back to Indonesia.
All right.
But this is a reach. There's no real evidence to support this. So, you know, I just thought I'd toss it in there, but I don't know.
It's interesting because it took place around the same time, but I don't know. I mean, part of it is that there's no signs of a struggle. There's no, I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's
like in this theory, where did the Bali bombers go?
So you could say that perhaps, maybe they went ashore in the Marshall Islands, or, you know, when you think about it, they were found close to Australia. Maybe they came back without the captain and the engineer, of course. They came back and vectored themselves south close to Australia and, you know, swung up close to shore at night. And then our Bali bombers took the inflatable and went on ashore into Australia. And then the remaining crew took off, heading back towards Indonesia.
Hmm.
Of course, that still doesn't explain why they didn't take the High AIM-6 all the way back to Indonesia.
I don't quite get it. I guess.
Yeah, I don't either. Yeah, I agree.
I'm not willing to totally dismiss it, but I'm really having trouble seeing how this would work out for the Bali bombers.
Yeah, no, I don't know either.
Especially the lack of a struggle on board. I kind of see, like, they pull off this, like, you know, supervillain horrific, I mean, really horrific. It was really terrible bombing at the Bali nightclubs. And then they're like, okay, we're going to get out of the country by pretending to be fishermen. All right, I get it. So they get aboard the boat and then they stage a mutiny aboard the boat. Honestly, I could buy that theory, but there's no signs of struggle or really much of anything.
Yeah.
One thing, if the boat was shot to crap, I might be like, wow, maybe the same terrorists who also got on the boat. But
yeah, now the
evidence that of any of that.
Really, the only reason people have brought up the Bali bombings is not because there's any evidence to really connect the two, but just because they happened so close in time together. People speculated about a connection between the two, but
no, true.
That's about it. I mean, really.
That's all I can figure, right? There's a connection to Bali. It's 2002.
Yeah.
Outside of that, I can't really link the two. I mean,
and remember too, that if our terrorists were still on Bali when the dragnet went out for them, then Indonesia, as you know, is a bunch of islands. It's not just one. And
a bunch of islands, also one of the most populous countries in the world. So it's not like
So they would have actually had to get off of Bali and onto one of the other islands and make their way across it to, I think it was Batung, where they actually boarded the High Aim. So that in itself would have required quite a bit of sneakiness, I think. So I don't know. It's just and again, if you say go ashore in Australia or the Marshall Islands, you got an issue there because you could still get arrested there as well.
Absolutely.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, I'd head in the total opposite direction. If I was the Bali bomber, I'd be trying to get to Afghanistan or Saudi Arabia or something.
The
last place I'd want to be is Australia.
The Australians were probably thirsty for blood about then. I would have hit in plain sight. I would have, if I'd been one of the killers, I would have shown up at one of those nightclubs the very next day and say, "Hey, I hear you need help. Everybody got killed. I want to hire me as a bartender." And of course they would throw you out, but nobody would ever think that a terrorist would be so dumb as to come back and ask for a job at the same place he just bombed. So there you go.
So I want to talk about the dead calm theory, because this is a new one for me. I had not heard anything like this.
I mean, this one does put me in mind of that movie, Dead Calm, which
if, by the way, if you're looking for like just a friggin' razor sharp thriller.
Yeah, it's
dead
good.
Calm is a movie from the 1980s that has not lost a damn second of its life. You can watch it today and it holds up.
I need to watch it again. It's been literally decades, I think. The last time I saw that was back in maybe the 90s.
Billy Zane.
Nicole Kidman.
Classic.
No, it never was a smash hit at the box office, but it was kind of a bit of a sleeper. But damn, it's a good movie.
We're talking about that movie, right? We're basically talking about a scenario like this, right? Serial killer off the coast of Australia.
Yeah. Because, of course, we're going to bring up the mysterious case of the Kaz 2.
Yeah, the Kaz 2. We've never done Kaz 2. Did you guys do it on Thinking?
No, we never did. And actually, it's been this one's been flogged by a number of podcasts.
Yeah,
so
it's a pretty popular one. But
yeah,
we might have to, because we do these maritime things.
Yeah, we do. Sure, yeah.
Neither of us are sailors, right? Like, you don't sail.
I have a little bit, but not a huge amount.
I don't.
Yeah.
I stay off the ocean, man.
Yeah, no, I really like boats and I like sailing. Sailing is fun. I've done enough of it to have a basic understanding of the concept and everything like that. Mm-hmm. But I would not, with my level of experience and knowledge, take off to cross the ocean or anything like that. No, that'd be insane. But I understand how it all works.
All right, okay,
that's something. But anyway, back to the Kaz though. It was this is from 2007, so 5 years after. Well, 4 years after, actually. 32-foot catamaran, and it left Airlie Beach, which I think is northeast Australia, April 15th, 2007. It was headed for Townsville, Queensland, and the plan was to sort of partially circumnavigate Australia. They weren't going to go all the way around, but they wanted to basically circle across the top part and over to northwest Australia. But they didn't get that far. There was just three guys on board. None of them were super experienced, but they had experience in sailing. So it's not like they were total amateurs. But 3 days after they left port, though, a helicopter spots them adrift in the vicinity of the Great Barrier Reef.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Australian Coast Guard, that catches up with the boat 2 days later, boards it, and the crew is missing. And the situation is described as strange, because the authorities said that the boat was in good condition, and it was laid out as if the crew was ready to sit down for a meal. Again, this is classic ghost ship stuff, right?
Yeah,
there was food and flatware set out on the table. Laptop computer is sitting there, set up, opened up and turned on. The engine was running. All the gear, the radio, GPS was all functional. And yeah, just nothing out of order. The boat's tender was in place on the stern of the boat, so we know the crew did not abandon ship. Right?
Okay.
And that was about it. The crew was missing. One of the boat's sails had been shredded. But that was the only thing that was really out of order, that the crew being gone.
Yeah, but that could just happen if you left, like if no one was on the boat.
Yeah, and you just leave it up. It's got to get tattered. Yeah. Yeah. So there's, you know, there's not aliens or anything like that. So and of course, somebody in the press had to call it the Mary Celeste again. You know, the Mary Celeste always comes up, right?
We get requests to cover the Mary Celeste.
Yeah. But we can't really do it because we talked about it on Thinking Sideways. I mean, I guess we
can. Know.
Yeah, we can't really do it again. I mean, I guess we could if enough people want us to. I mean, you know, I'm always happy to talk about those things. Or maybe we'll do a mashup and we'll talk about all these different sea mysteries and ghost ships that we've talked about in the past and just sort of jam them all together in one episode.
Okay, how about this? If there's enough outcry for us to cover the Mary Celeste again.
Yeah.
I don't know why we'd do that, but we'd do it.
We do. So yeah, guys, you know, and of course, if you want to set up a GoFundMe and try to like set up a Joe and Vincent bribery fund to bribe us to do this, then, you know, hey, that might work, you know. Let's see. So about the cast, though, there were some theories. You know, what do you think is a strong theory for what happened to these guys?
I'm not an expert on the cast, too. I just want to be clear. I actually heard about this a lot. I've never really looked into it myself.
Yeah.
It didn't appear that the Kaz 2 had been through any type of like traumatic weather or any type of events like that.
No, not at all.
And if it had the food and dinnerware and the laptop, it would have been like knocked to the deck, right?
Right. If they'd been through a storm and heavy seas.
Yeah. It's actually one of the few things I actually have witnessed is I've been on boats that get left kind of abandoned in our harbor right here in Portland. And one of the things you'll find is that when you do that, when you leave a boat, you know, sort of loosely moored and it bobs around for long enough and it goes through some storms.
Everything winds up on the floor.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like yes. You get onto these boats and like, yeah, everything is just like, just ground to paste on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And since that hadn't happened, it means that one, there wasn't a crazy weather event. And then two, it didn't drift for all that long. Otherwise that would have eventually happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there are several theories of what happened to the crew. Most revolve a mishap and everyone getting knocked overboard, which on a catamaran actually seems likely. My understanding of catamarans is you're going to spend a lot of time kind of up toward the edge of the, how you put it, like sort of toward the edge of the boat, right?
Yeah.
It's not a typical boat that would have, you know, sort of rails or whatever. Like it's pretty easy to fall off a catamaran.
Yeah. It's just plausible that somehow like maybe somebody falls overboard and then the other two guys rush to help him and they're trying to pull him out of the water and they fall into and the boat. And by the way, somebody left the boat, the engine running and the boat in gear. And so.
Right.
Yeah. So there they are, you know, floating around just, you know, doing a strong imitation of shark bait as they watch their boat motoring away from them off. You know, that would be a bad feeling.
It's a terrifying thought, right?
Yeah.
Like if you didn't think it through and you and your buddy jump off the boat to save your buddy and then, you know, you get him and then you look up and, oh damn, the boat's gone.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Major. I could see that. I guess another one is that they maybe docked with a serial killer.
Well, that was something that people... The dead calm theory, because it was noted when they found the boat that the boat's fenders were out. They were deployed. Mm-hmm. And you know what fenders are, right?
Yeah, they're what you would use. So it's kind of like a fender in a car. I guess it's different in a boat. They're the things you would drop off the side of the boat. They can be as simple as just like old car tires. A lot of times they have these sort of inflatable sort of eggplant shaped things you drop off the side. That allows another boat to sidle up on next to the dock.
It could be hang them on the side of your boat there. Yeah, exactly. Yep.
And then you can dock with somebody or of course dock with a dock.
Yeah.
And that doesn't, you know, mess up the side of your boat because boats can actually, if they get too close to each other and there isn't some kind of flexible thing between them, they can actually kind of smash each other apart.
Yeah.
So that's why they do that. And so that's what fenders are. And so the fenders were deployed. And that to me actually, and I think to you as well, says they docked with somebody.
Maybe. Or maybe they were just like lazy, crappy sailors. It's like, It's not the end of the world if you take off and just circumnavigate Australia and leave your fenders deployed around the outside of your boat.
Well, that's a good point. I see what you're saying.
But it's one of those things. It's not considered good seamanship. It's considered kind of sloppy, bad form.
Yeah,
but,
that makes sense.
If you're like, if you're racing, you're racing your sailboat and your fenders are dragging in the water and slowing you down, then yeah, no, bad. So, it doesn't prove that they docked with another boat. But,
it just seems so basic to pull the fenders in.
Yeah, it does. It does, really.
I'm not a sailor. What do I know? But it just seems like that'd be like the first thing I do.
It's just so,
pull those fenders up. We don't want them dragging in the water. We don't want them getting lost. We don't want to lose them. And then we can't dock properly. Like, get them in.
Well, so what, if somebody else came alongside, if it was just some dude, then I don't know, but maybe it was a hot chick or a couple of hot chicks.
Oh, yeah.
And if you go sailing up to three guys in the middle of the high seas and you're a hot chick and you go, hi there, can I come aboard? And hell yeah.
Well, okay.
It
sounds silly, but right. Okay. So you've got a yacht, right? You've got food, you've got beer. Okay, maybe there's girls or something like that. And you pull up alongside three blokes in a catamaran and you go, hey, let's hang out. Let's dock and have some beers for the night. That'd be pretty appealing to some guys who are, catamarans, you're pretty exposed to the elements out there. Somebody's got some amenities, some little taste of civilization. I could see why you might want to dock with them and hang out.
Yeah, no. And so they dock with somebody else who roofies them and then pushes their bodies overboard and then just takes off, starts up their engine, sets them on their way and takes off, with a merry tra-la-la. Because they're just, it's this person or persons, they're just serial killers and just, kill for the sheer fun of it. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what they did with the crew of the High Aim 6. Maybe they, maybe there's an Australian aquatic killer.
Kind of what we're theorizing about. I don't buy it.
Yeah. No, I know too. Although I do kind of like the idea of an aquatic serial killer, right?
I think it's fascinating.
It's silly,
and totally plausible.
Things
happen out at sea. How many accidents, I guess it's been close to 20 years now, but there was a really weird story where some guys were fishing on the Columbia and we found their boat and we didn't totally know what happened to the boat. We don't know what happened. We know the boat capsized, if I remember how this story goes, but we don't know all the details because all the men aboard died.
Yeah.
No, I don't think anyone did anything to them, but man, if you wanted to get some guys, you're a lot further from law enforcement or whatever, right? Witnesses, if you're out in the middle of the Columbia River, much less out in the ocean.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, you can just, you can murder people, especially if you want to sink the boat and then hey, you can get away with it. So I wouldn't totally discount. I don't know that the High M6 would have been a really great, juicy target because that's a lot of people to deal with. I would think you'd sort of target smaller boats that have just a couple of people on them. Yeah. Well, not necessarily though. If you're totally charming and you just find a way to just drug these people.
I guess.
And then you can just, like I said, shove them overboard or torture them or whatever it is you do. I don't know. I'm not a serial killer.
So then in your scenario, is the guy in Indonesia the killer?
That is it. That is the big question.
Wouldn't he be like, somebody got on my boat and he killed everybody but me. I had to, convince him to let me live or dive over the side or whatever, something like that.
Yeah, I know. That's he probably was the killer. It probably was him. And then he made up this stuff about mutiny when he should have said something about pirates. I don't know. None of it makes sense. No, again, this is just a stretch. I like the idea of the serial killer idea, but no, I don't think that's what happened with the High Aim 6.
I don't think so.
Maybe the cash too.
Given how deep they probably were, right?
Yeah.
Just to get into it, it's a little bit hard, not impossible, but it's a little bit hard. It costs more money. You need a bigger boat to get that far out to sea.
Yeah.
If you were to talk about, there's a guy in Australia with a yacht who's a serial killer who goes around, and finds tourists in little, catamarans or whatever, a couple hundred miles at the most off the coast of Australia. I think that's a credible theory. Where these guys were, he would have needed a big boat, probably with a crew, to go after them. Right? Mm-hmm. Am I wrong about this?
Not necessarily, but what?
He didn't go out there on a motorboat.
No, of course not. What I'm thinking is that, so they go out to the marshals and eventually mutiny and head back with their the boat. And then they haven't stripped the boat yet because, you know, they're not anywhere.
Wow.
They're not anywhere close to shore yet. So, and they're coming close to Australia. They're going to hit the far side of Indonesia, far from where they live or from where they left from, to maybe sell the catch, maybe even sell the boat. Okay. And down there close to the coast of Australia is where they meet our killers. And and they, for whatever reason, maybe the killers are like, maybe they pretend to be a disabled boat. And then our mutineers are kind of like, you know, hey, you know, like, I know, let's go over, you know, maybe we can like rob these people and take everything they have too. But they get a little shock and a surprise. But of course, there was no sign of a struggle.
Yeah.
But again,
we see no sign of a struggle. I mean, I've never heard anything that there was any blood, right?
No, there was none. Although blood can be cleaned up too, of course.
I guess, you know? So. Yeah, I don't know.
There's always that. But yeah. We don't know how many mutineers were left on the boat either. Mm-hmm. Maybe some of them took the captain's side in the mutiny. They got killed themselves. I don't know. But anyway, no, it's just we're just spitballing all the way around here. This is ridiculous, you know.
It is getting ridiculous.
This one up. No, this is just this is a head scratcher. Again, I just don't get it. It makes no sense.
Mutiny is the most likely thing, but they're
incompetent mutineers. I guess. I don't know.
I guess really incompetent.
Yeah. Really dumb mutineers. So
honestly, Joe, I would have even told you that this episode was not worth covering.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for the fact that there was no signs of a struggle on the ship.
Yeah.
I would just say, I don't know, there was a mutiny.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty obvious. The guy's mutant.
Yeah.
One guy says it was. He's the only guy we know that lived through the event. Pretty clear that something went wrong. Yeah. I don't know. But the fact that they left everything, and I know I'm hanging on this one thing, but that they left the smokes behind.
Yeah, and all had everything else. I know.
Something was good. It's different.
And the mutineers would not have left their possessions and their passports. They wouldn't have, you know.
I really don't think they would have.
They would not have. And so, yeah, so mutiny makes no sense. So I don't know. Anyway, it's a mystery. If you're out there, if you're one of the mutineers, by the way, you should send us an email.
yeah, get in touch with us. Find us on social media.
Absolutely, yeah. If you'll pause just for a moment here, the lovely Tess will give you our email facts and also our social media stuff. And of course, before we sign off here, we're gonna please, especially if you're a mutineer, to leave us a rating and a review, a good rating and a good review, please.
Please.
Yeah, please. We need that. You know, you need it too. Mm-hmm. It'll make you feel good about yourself. You know?
No, it'll make a better podcast because it'll help more people find us and we'll be able to do this longer and put more energy into it. So just do it.
Get off your lazy butt. Yeah. Rating, review now. All right. Well, that's about it. I guess we've pretty much beaten this horse about as dead as it can get. I think it's time to go and sign off until next week.
All right. Have a good week.
Yeah. You guys have a good one. We'll see you in a week. Bye.
The Shocking Details can be found at www.theshockingdetails.com. We're on Twitter at Shocking Details. For discussion of episodes and more, our Facebook group is facebook.com/groups/shockingdetailspodcast/. Or you can email us at theshockingdetailspodcast@gmail.com. And if you like the podcast, please consider giving us a like and a positive review and letting people know about us.